The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast, Joshua Adewoyemarath, not with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
So are we going to have a wild card rule for our podcast now moving forward?
I was going to say, I'm going to be replaced by Devin Seal on this podcast, and he's going to become the host on a weekly basis now for the podcast. On one fall. And then maybe next week, you know, Joel's going to jump onto the Fresh Take NBA podcast.
No, right? It's going to be Jesse Molly.
Oh, yeah. Jesse's going to jump on the NBA podcast, right? And then we're going to have Mo jump on Electronic Enhancement, our video game podcast. And Mo's going to talk about what he thinks about platformers continually growing in the video game market and Sony not having an appearance at this year's E3.
Because that's the surefire way to solve all your problems, right? Right?
Yeah, just to have a wild. People like unpredictability, man. That's what people like. We'll get to that. I have my rant about the wild card. But let's talk about something more important first. So we have some pay-per-views getting built. After this Sunday, we will have back-to-back weeks of having pay-per-views. One is a WWE pay-per-view, and I don't want to actually shit on that too much. Like, the card looks really good. It looks like a really enjoyable card. We're going to get AJ Styles and Seth Rollins. We're going to get Money in the Bank matches, which are normally okay, but at the very least, we're getting AJ Styles and Seth Rollins, so hopefully that can be good. AJ matches haven't been living up to the hype anymore. I'm wondering if he's past his prime.
I don't think he's necessarily past his prime. I just think
the WWE style also hurt. Like, I never really asked you this. Like, what did you really think about AJ and Randy? Did you think there was stuff left on the table?
My thing with that match and everything with WrestleMania was the card was too bloated, so everything had to kind of keep going and going and going and going and going. There was no breathing. There was no chance to really let something develop. And I think the match will be good, but I'm keeping my expectations extremely low with AJ and Seth. And the build has been okay. It just seems like the two want to fight each other, and that's kind of it. I don't feel like WWE is putting a lot into this match, and that instantly tells me that we're going to get we very well could get a Nakamura and AJ Styles all over again.
Yeah, we could be. I mean, I can't tell you. I haven't really watched a lot of the programming on television lately. I won't get into a reason for that. But, yeah, so we're going to get Money in the Bank, and then we're going to get AEW. So we're going to have a lot of wrestling cover for you right here on the One Fall Podcast. But speaking about AEW, they may not be just a T-shirt company anymore. Like we said, pay-per-view's coming in 2 weeks. The countdown is on, and the matches. Sammy Guevara has a match now added to the show that was added today. Against Kip Sabin, and they also look to have in quote unquote virtually done their television deal. Joel,
this is a big deal. This is when WWE is at its at its weakest point right now. In a lot of ways, a lot of people are looking for an alternative. All AEW has to do is show up and be half decent, and I think that's going to draw people in. You don't have to blow people away night one, but as long as you're delivering a good, consistent product where storylines matter and these wrestlers get to wrestle and there's a story to everything and there's moments and there's build-up and the wins and losses matter, there's no 50-50 booking, you'll be able to take a step forward ahead of WWE. I mean, you can make the argument that Japan's been ahead of WWE for a while now. You can make the argument that there are a few companies out there that you could say that are probably either on par with WWE or stepping ahead of WWE. That's not including WWE's production value and what they're able to do. They're a billion-dollar company. But from telling good stories and being a good product, I feel like there's more companies ahead, and all AEW needs to do is take those steps forward. I know I've heard some people say that AEW is too indie, but we've seen what too corporate looks like, and it just hasn't worked. The ratings are down. The ratings were up this week, but just because
barely, not very much.
Just because they were up doesn't mean that it's going to. The things are all magically fixed now, and the product's going to be great. It's a situation where I'm hopeful that this little T-shirt company that could be on TBS and just for the love of God,
not
have
TNT, TNT,
TNT.
Yeah.
Have just please have Ted Turner show up on your first show and just say I'm not dead yet and leave, and that would single-handedly either light a fire under Vince or he'd burst into flames. One or the other.
Well, it's really funny listening to the Dave Meltzer Jericho pod, and they talked about the when the WCW sale happened, and talked about in the early 90s at one point when Turner and them, some of the board members said, like, we don't want to have wrestling on here anymore. And Ted Turner said, wrestling built this station, because one of the first things that was ever on TBS at that point was wrestling. And I think the other thing was like movie of the week and whatnot, but wrestling had really built Turner. And then we go into the late 90s, obviously Monday Night War happened, and now we're back and it's going to be on TNT, which, you know, number one, like you're saying, Vince is obviously not going to be happy that it's back on Turner, and here we go again dealing against Turner again, which is, this is the biggest station that a rival wrestling company has had since WCW. All respect to Spike TV, they're not in nearly enough households that Turner is. TNT also hosts the NBA with the award-winning show that they have with Shaq and Charles Barkley and everything like that. Charles Barkley also was a huge wrestling fan, so, you know, he does such a good job of promoting his love for hockey. He'll talk as much about wrestling, too. He did that during March Madness this year. So you're also going to have the promo time during an NBA game, during the Thursday game of the week, to promote AEW, which is an absolutely huge asset for AEW.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I imagine even with a TV deal that being the elite is going to keep going. So you have free advertisement through there. This, as long as it's, and I know I've saw some people kind of debating whether it's pay to air, which I think that's the proper term, which is basically them paying Turner to be on air, or if it's very small, but it's money going to AEW, I don't think it matters, because you've got to get on TV. Whatever way you got to get on TV, you do. And mm-hmm. as long as it does good numbers and it starts to build up, and if even in its first year, if it's showing consistent numbers, that's all you'd look for the first year. As long as you're showing consistent numbers and you're showing slow growth, then that means you're already a step ahead of WWE, because we're not seeing growth from WWE. It's always start and stop with WWE. It's always start and stop with the ratings. So the ratings have gone up. They've gone down. They've gone up. They've gone down. It's a yo-yo with WWE. With AEW, if they can be consistent and build things up, then it's more power to them. But that said, with WWE faltering, I'm very interested to see how AEW does, because AEW has divided wrestling fans. I mean, you can say WWE has divided wrestling fans. It's driven away wrestling fans. But it's definitely a different demographic for AEW as opposed to what WWE is. And that's both good and bad. But it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. But regardless of how you get on Turner, you're on TV, and that's a step forward. And if you have a little bit of leeway with Turner, then you can take some risk, and you can be a great product for that channel. And I'm very interested to see how that broadcasts here in Canada.
Yeah, I'm interested in that. And like I said, I think the asset of having the I think TNT, I'm not sure they do baseball as much anymore, but you also get possibly MLB, I can't remember, but you at least have the Atlanta Braves. to promote with that as well. TNT is also traditionally Southern. The Southern community has always done very good as far as wrestling. And you mentioned being the elite and online presence. Another thing that's going to really work and benefit them, Joel, is TNT is also a partner with Bleacher Report. And that is going to be a great asset for them to have a partnership with TNT and have the asset of Bleacher Report.
Yeah, there's a lot of positive things that can go with this. It depends on the scope of the deal, of course. If Bleacher Report does anything really with them, if I was TNT, if I was Turner, I'd definitely be willing to put a little bit of investment in this. I'd take a risk with it first year, and no pun intended, but I'd go all in on a lot of regards for this. I think you have a guy like Jericho that is an easily marketable guy. We've seen what he's been able to do with Double or Nothing. Cody Rhodes is a name that people recognize. And especially with this being down south, this you're catering to that fan base, that demographic. And I think wrestling does really well there. I think seeing guys like Kenny and Fox perform and perform weekly is going to be a big deal for a lot of people. And the roster is looking decent. Like, say what you will, I'm interested to see what Jungle Boy does. I think that this is a guy that, especially with the story with his father, that's a thread that they can pull on. I think the other name that you have is, I'm forgetting his name, but the guy with no legs, that's the roster that they just signed.
Yeah, that was on Double or Nothing. It's a great story there.
It's little things like that that I think can engage an audience and be interesting. Hopefully the storytelling's well. I believe that Joey Ryan is ending his indie run, and the feeling is there's two companies that he'll go to. It's either AEW or it's to go be with that blonde woman in NXT. I can't see him going to WWE.
I just don't know how it works. Like, how do you make Joey Ryan work in NXT? He cannot do the pornplex, even in NXT. It's just not possible, right?
Stranger things have happened, but I would.
I mean, I know Vince would get a kick out of it. It's his type of sense of humor.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He grabbed him by the cock. Ha ha ha! Good job, pal.
It absolutely would be, but it wouldn't be the sponsor's sense of humor.
No. I mean, maybe NXT, but like if you're going to Fox and Joey Ryan's on there doing the pornplex, that's not going to work.
No. But if he's on AEW, Turner, I don't know how it works, but...
Well, I think we kind of always assumed that whenever Joey Ryan went to a major promotion that the pornplex was going to die.
Yeah. But I think Joey Ryan's more than that. I think Joey Ryan...
I do too.
I think Joey Ryan's proven to be an interesting, he's constantly been engaging in being the elite between his funeral and his resurrection and just now him having the glasses and that changing his identity and his search for the blonde woman he's been constantly engaging in being the elite, so I think he'll be fine.
I just want to make a quick correction on a few things here. Number one, so baseball is no longer on TNT, but they do have March Madness and they do have the UEFA Championship starting next year. So again, so they have the UEFA, NCAA, and NBA. Again, just more things because everyone talks about Fox and how they're going to be able to show stuff to like NFL to promote the NBA to WWE. Having UEFA, especially with how crazy UEFA has been the past 2 days with Liverpool and the Tottenham wins, and then with the NBA convening and then March Madness. Again, these are just great platforms. You talked about the pay to play. You need to get in the dance. And when you get in the dance, then people start knowing the name. So people that are watching March Madness or watching UEFA or watching the NBA, like, what's AEW? AEW. And then if they see even just like Chris Jericho's face at the very least, or maybe an ad of the Young Bucks doing something athletic or whatever, you're going to draw them in to know there's this other wrestling company with premier sports products that they can use to promote during those broadcasts for AEW.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good ad for them. Even if you get to pay to get in, Tony Khan is a smart man and he knows what he's doing. And especially in the world of UEFA with him owning being part of Fulham Football, he knows how the world of soccer works and knows how sports marketing works as well with the Jaguars. Just want to hit again, like, I think that is such a huge asset for them to get on TNT with how good TNT is promoting their sports and their athletics. I believe they have not lost an Emmy for that NBA show in the however many years it's been on. They consistently win sports Emmys. So TNT is, they may have lost baseball, they don't have football, but TNT knows how to run a product of sports. And for a while, WCW was a product they knew how to run decently. The later years weren't so good. But I just want to bring that point up before we get back to the talent stuff.
Yeah. And, I mean, for all we know, this could change. And they could absolutely not be on TNT. And this is all moot point. But as of right now, this is the persistent rumor is that that's where they're going. I mean, you've seen what they've been able to do with the Road to Double or Nothing and that production level and just the story they've been able to tell. And just imagine a bigger machine getting behind them. I feel like it just would elevate them to that next level.
We'll find out at Upfronts on Wednesday, and that'll be interesting at Upfronts and who they bring to Upfronts, because we know WWE is bringing Cena and Ronda, so they're bringing out big guns for their upfronts, and I guess they're going to try to do another one of the Emmy pushes, which probably deserve stuff for their production costs. You and I have been saying that for a while, but it'll be a big deal for AEW to announce on Turner, and I mean, you're already going to probably see a little bit of the Monday Night War, or the wrestling war start again. Again, you've said this a million times on here beforehand. I think we need like a year or a little bit more before we start getting into that term. At the very least, it's a situation where it's not a war, I think, as far as the television product, but it will be a war as far as talent transferring and as far as fan interest. I don't know if the ratings will show it right away, but you're starting to see at least WWE dipping because of not giving fans what they want.
Yeah. This puts a little fire in the kitchen. The heat's getting raised, and this is only a good thing. This is only a good thing, and this, hopefully, I really hope this works out, because as long as this works out, and this really puts some pressure on WWE, and just elevates everything across the board, then that's what matters.
Does they also signed a talent this week? They added Jack Evans. So, you know, we do this podcast out of Calgary. Pretty much wherever Jack Evans goes, someone follows him, and that's Teddy Hart. They already have Jungle Boy, who was working in the Calgary promotion out here as well, along with Jack Evans. So Teddy's kind of the last missing piece in this. Teddy has really seemed to have redeemed his career at MLW, and I'd love for Teddy, as crazy as he is and wanting cats to do run-ins and all that stuff, I would love for Teddy to get his opportunity in AEW.
I mean, Brian Pillman Jr. is announced for the Battle Royale, which
I think is he? Okay, so then it's a matter of time till Teddy's there then.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on this, Joel? It's very exciting. I mean, I'm very excited for the pay-per-view in 2 weeks as it is. And I'm just also excited to, at the very least, I just think Vince really needs a kick in the ass, and this, the very least, I think getting into Turner will do something.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
you need to get a rise out of him. You need to start pushing him.
Because he's been very lazadaical. I guess we have to get to a serious matter now. We had kind of talked about this briefly in the past. Lars Sullivan, you know, 6 months ago or so, a lot of terrible, gross comments that he had said, a lot of racist comments that he had said had been leaked online, and then he had that whole thing.
Homophobic,
yeah.
Islamophobic.
And then, yep, and he was supposed to face Cena at Mania, and coincidentally, around this time, he just disappeared, and he's reemerged now, obviously, on the product, and as he's reemerged, so are those comments.
Yeah, every time he gets kind of going, it just seems like Forbes just ran a story on it this morning, and the title of it is Lars Sullivan and WWE's Recent History to Turning a Blind Eye to Bigotry. It's not a good
one. Well, one of the leaders of those is Hogan.
I know Lars has issued a statement, and his statement is as followed. There's no excuse for the inappropriate remarks that I made years ago. They do not reflect my personal beliefs nor who I am today. I apologize to anyone I offend. I just don't buy it.
I don't either. I think it's a lazy excuse. I mean, the thing is, you and I talked about this off air beforehand. Like, sure, you can punish him, you can get rid of him, but that doesn't really stop the problem, because then you still have the bigger problem with Hogan. And you told that really good story of Hogan at Mania. I'll let you tell that kind of story, because I don't want to step on your story there.
Yeah, it's basically there were people in the crowd that turned their back when Hogan came out. Mm-hmm. People just stood up and turned their back. I sat on my hands the whole segment. I didn't really do or say anything. But there were some people that were cheering, but ultimately I just kind of sat on my hands. And there were people that stood up and didn't acknowledge Hogan.
Yeah, that one's still conflicting for me. We had a house of people. I'll admit I cheered for him at that point. But then it's weird when you cheer for Hogan and you have this weird, like, oh, right, these comments. Because you just kind of remember the bright spot that you had for him. And you're like, oh, right. And as for Lars, it's an easy cut for them, because who is he? He's literally done nothing in the company. And I think the worst headline is that I've read on the Observer and whatever is the quote that WWE aware of Lars' situation, hope it goes away.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. So that obviously, I mean, we already knew they had something bigger planned for Lars on the street, down the road here, but the fact that they think it's just going to go away, no matter what they do, especially if he beats Kofi for the title, have fun with that shitstorm.
Oh, yeah, you do. You want to see people turn off your product. That's a quick way to do it.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know how he's not on the house shows this week. How do you handle this without I had seen a report about 2 hours ago that he was off of house shows.
He attacked Kofi Kingston in Dublin.
Oh, did he? Okay, well, there's that. I guess my bigger point is here, how do you, again, I it's just such a weird issue of how do you suspend or fire or whatever you do with Lars without looking hypocritical for the Hogan situation? And obviously he's had far more comments than Hogan does, but they're both gross, and they're like very hypocritical to be like, well, it's Hogan, let's bring him back, and then Lars has this and be like, we're gonna fire him for it. And I will say, like, when they did the Hogan thing the first time, their reaction to it all, we commended them. They did a tremendous job when the Hogan thing broke. They took him out of the Hall of Fame, they fired him immediately, and they wiped him from history. It was like, wow, they actually did the right thing in this situation, and that was Hulk Hogan. And now he's back in the company for whatever reason. Obviously, they think he can do drawing power for them. And now they face this situation with this Lars thing, which, if they fire him, will lead to stuff with Hogan right away.
Oh, yeah. This company consistently does a good job of digging in holes for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, like you were saying too, like, it's not just racist, and it's racist comments, misogynistic, lasomphobic, homophobic. There's like, there's no short of this guy just being a piece of shit. This sums
it up perfectly, that he had a comment about the gray area of rape. So it perfectly summarizes what he said, and it's just. It's just not acceptable. It's just, Lars Sullivan should not be in the company, and yet he's doing run-ins and attacking Kofi, and I mean Woods and Kofi are driving him away and knocking him down. It's not, if you're already starting to work programs with the WWE champion, that tells you where things are going. And that's not,
I mean,
that's not
I'll good. Take you... Take you to a comment that he had, the Forbes took out these tweets or whatever they were, August 22nd, 2012. Again, these are his comments, not mine, folks. They're gross. What are Kofi and R-Truth supposed to be? a PG Black Panther stable, I always wondered what they had them teaming up with two black guys. Both look like they could be in a prison black gang. Now, if you remember that tag team, they never were gangsters. They never were thugs. They were two guys that smiled and had fun together. So,
and now he's working,
yeah, that's
with,
how,
working with, yeah, both of them right now in 2019.
Yeah. Now, that's going to be my point. So, yeah, I know what I would do in this situation. I would just not even deal with it. You have so much hot water already. Like, you're going to upfronts this week, and if you don't think people are going to ask you questions about this or John Oliver, at least get rid of one of the things, because you're not going to solve the John Oliver thing in a day, or maybe ever, but at the very least, you can solve this problem by firing the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that simple. But at upfronts, you're going to be trying to go and do all this Emmy stuff and blah, blah, blah. People are going to be asking you about your low ratings, and people are going to ask you about John Oliver, and now they're going to ask you about this. If you think it's going to be all sunshines and rainbows, and maybe that's why they're bringing Cena and Ronda, and they're going to be asking you about Saudi Arabia too. Like, it's the problem with this company right now. There's no sunflowers and sunshine to go as, like, yeah, we deserve to be for an Emmy. If I'm a reporter there, I'm like, so talk to me about Saudi Arabia. Talk to me about Lars. Talk to me about the John Oliver piece. Like, there is so many things that are negative that if I'm a reporter, I'm asking them it up front.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just, oh, yeah, like, we're going to Fox. This is great. There's questions that will be asked. And maybe that's why they brought Cena there as the ultimate deflector and Ronda. But Stephanie's going to be asked those questions. Cena's going to be asked this question. Ronda's going to be asked those questions. How they dodge them, it'll be a very interesting Wednesday for them. Compared to AEW, which will just be sunflowers and rainbows.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of negativity tied in with them.
No, so I mean, neither one of us is going to be shocked to see Lars and Money in the Bank next week, right?
No. It's either him or Corbin that's winning.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's in the match, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there it is. It's gross. It's just another reason that I'm just. It's really sick of this company.
Enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
But hey, wild card, Joel.
Oh.
When I saw that, and they've had five on SmackDown. This rule just, number one, diluted something that I did enjoy was the brand split, because I thought it worked really good. You already have way too much talent in your company. So taking it back, separating the talent, and having separated yeah.
Just a correction. Lars is not in the Money in the Bank, but Corbin is. So Corbin's winning it.
Mm. Yeah, I wasn't sure if he was in it or not, but he's going to do something like attack Kofi or something.
More than likely.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, I like the separate rosters, and now you're just diluting this down. I mean, I can obviously see what you're doing. Fox and USA were probably like, well, I want Roman, well, I want Ronda, well, I want John Cena, well, I want Daniel Bryan. So this is their out with NBC Universal and with Fox to let them know that they can have those stars when they want to. It's a cop out though. It's lazy writing. It's not enjoyable of the product. It's not unpredictable. It's the brand split. I wasn't working to the way that it could have been, because they never took it as serious as they needed to take it. No. They never made it, like, I thought when they started off the first month or so, it was really doing well, and I don't know, this just is a complete throwing shit in your fans' face. We just spent however long doing the Superstar Shakeup. I'm not taking that serious anymore. Like, why does the Superstar Shakeup matter if you can go on either brand? It's just another situation of Vince being like, oh, I'm going to come on and make a major announcement, and no, none of it matters. And that's the reason they're spiked, so that they fooled us all again to make us tune into the start of Raw to be like, oh, what's going to happen? And then they just shit in our faces again.
It's what they do.
Mm-hmm. There's just nothing positive about this wild card thing. It's just kind of a slap in the face.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, when I just saw that, I was watching on my iPad at the time, and as soon as it got announced, I just took a deep breath. I was like, and then closed my iPad appropriately and just moved on with my day and then read the updates the next day. What happened?
And then
appropriately watched whatever YouTube videos that I had any interest on. So anything more on the wild card before I move on, Joel?
It's a desperate attempt to a company that's gasping for air.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the NXT call-ups. We've seen so much, too, right? Meltzer brought this point up with the Jericho pod. He said, like, and you've seen all these McDonald's comparisons lately, which I think is so appropriate. McDonald's is never going to go into business. It may not have the best burger anymore, but it's always going to be the big boy, right? People are always like, oh, Five Guys or this or that or Shake Shack or whatever, Smashburger. But McDonald's always been the big boy. And Meltzer was saying, like, it doesn't matter what the ratings are. He's like, the rating can fall to a 1.4. It doesn't matter. They've made so much money now that they're not going anywhere. And it doesn't matter if the rating continues the drive. He's like, the only thing that may make them kick in the ass is this competition from AEW. But the rating can drop below a 1 now, and they're not going to care what the creative is. They like the way that their creative is. They think their creative is the right thing. So until someone really comes at them, they're not going to care because they've made so much money over the past 2 years, and that's all that matters. This TV right deal in Saudi Arabia alone, not to mention other things, that ratings, well, they do care about ratings. They're never going to be enough to make them do a significant change that they think that, you know, they're here, oh, we need this and this and this. They'll go by the way that they think they need to make your ratings go. And apparently that's a wild card or, you know, putting Icy Hots into one of the greatest tag teams in the world right now, Trunks.
Do we have to talk about that?
Nope. That's the only reference it gets.
Okay, cool.
The network will be leaving some platforms and updating. Only platforms that's really leaving them were like Xbox 360, PlayStation, just older devices that aren't really carrying it anymore. But yeah, we've been talking about the network was going to upgrade for a while. I guess the cool feature on it is the download to go feature will finally be on it. So that's cool. I don't know like where they're going as far as they said new content's going to be added. So I don't know if that means Evolve's going to be on there. With the inception of Impact Plus, I don't think Jarrett won that lawsuit that he was trying to do. So I can't imagine old Impact stuff's going to be on there.
Yeah, I don't either.
So I don't know really what else you're going to add that's so great. Maybe you're finally at those Stampede Wrestling tapes, but I think that's locked up in a cluster F as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens with the network. You're still subscribed to the network, Joel. Will you get this new tier level?
I have to take a look at it, and I go through cable provider. In Canada, I go through cable provider.
Right.
So right. There's a lot of factors in what happens next, and I got to decide how I feel about it.
Right. What else was with WWE? Anything else that we need to talk about on that side? I know we have the Brett thing, but is there anything else?
No, I don't think either of us watched all of Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan.
Oh,
here's right. The thing with I don't want to go on too much longer, but Daniel Bryan should be moved to Raw. He should win your Universal title, and you should just let him run with the title because he is the best guy in the company. On that mic, in ring, he could probably even run commentary. Bryan is the best that you have, and you should be sinking into him and just pushing him forward. He cut a promo, and now I care about the SmackDown tag team titles.
That made me mad, that promo, because I'm like, why is this so good and everything else so bad?
Just let Daniel Bryan be Daniel Bryan, and you have a massive star that gets a reaction, that pushes buttons, that has... Like, you remember heading into the Rumble, he constantly had... must listen to promos, and even heading into just the road to Mania cooled off a little bit. But even heading into that Elimination Chamber, there was must-have moments. And then that whole Elimination Chamber with Kofi and everything that happened with that, it was just great. Cooled off a little bit for Brian. But Brian came back from the supposed injury, and he feels recharged and refreshed, and just keep going with Daniel Bryan. He's the guy that you should be pushing to the moon. At this point in time, I don't care about the concussions. I don't care that he's smaller. He's the best thing you have. Do something with that.
I agree. Watching that promo, man, and I sent it to you, and I just said to Joel, I'm like, this makes me mad because of how damn talented he is. And I'm like, it's weird. Like, and you mentioned this a while ago with Kenny when you were like, oh, I kind of wanted Kenny to go to WWE. And now I get mad. I'm like, I kind of wish this guy was an AEW.
Yep.
Just because I know he would be used so much better in AEW for all his talent. He almost doesn't deserve – the WWE does not deserve to have someone like Daniel Bryan. Who had a second chance at his wrestling life and won those tag team champions with someone like Rowan, who's fine. But I, like you said, I care about the SmackDown tag team championships, and I don't care about anything in WWE, but anything with Brian, I still want to seek out because Brian still cares. And I almost wonder, too, if that's a problem, too, Joel, if not enough people, if so many people have been worn down now by this product that they just stopped caring as much and stopped putting into it and just want to collect a paycheck and, you know, give, instead of 110%, they give like 70%. Daniel Bryan is still giving 110%.
And Bryan will until he can't anymore.
Because I just think he loves it. And I think it's a case, too, of this was taken away from him and they dealt with it on Total Bellas. Like, he went into like a deep depression and it was really hard for him to not have this anymore, and he got it back at the perfect time in his life when he was just about to have his daughter too. So he got the blessing of having a daughter, and then he got this back. So he's two of the things in his life at the same time, these two great things. And I think that he's had his second lease on his wrestling life. He has not relented and not underappreciated having that.
No. And go to AEW. Just please go to AEW.
Well, in 2 years. Perfect time at that point. Kenny will still have 2 years in his contract. So there's that. Let's talk more about AEW in a way with StarCast. And poor Conrad. I don't know how much longer he's going to want to work with Bruce.
Well, WWE has announced they're launching their own podcast service.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see where that fits, but they've done so many things to Conrad that
do you think they take away Bruce, make Bruce do something else, like maybe you got Bruce with Renee or something?
I could see it. They've shown, like, here's everything. They've taken Taker and Kurt from StarCast.
Mm-hmm.
They have they found out about that they wanted to have Shawn and Razor watch the ladder match and do commentary. They threw that on YouTube, and now they've taken, and this was our final story for the day, is they've taken the case for the McGee and Brett, and they're doing a documentary themselves, even though StarCast was going to do their own take on it. Bree Presley, Will Ospreay's girl, was going to face Tony Storm at Stardom, but WWE nixed that because God forbid their talent cross-pollinate with a AEW talent on a show that not a lot of people are going to see. Just a long list of WWE sure sharpening their knives right now.
But they're not scared of AEW. It's a pisshead company.
Oh, yeah. They're not scared of the guys that are going to kill the Attitude Era, not at all.
Also, I make a joke with you quite a bit about this, and Conrad consistently has gone on the record saying, like, I do not work for AEW. StarCast is a separate thing. But don't tell WWE that Conrad doesn't work for AEW, because they sure as hell look like he works for AEW.
Yeah, it's... Don't fear the pissant company.
The best tweet I saw, by the way, was on Conrad's Twitter just 7 hours ago. And I was sharing it when we had a talk, and someone said, I heard that WWE will be opening a mortgage division and airing it on the network.
Gotta make sure Conrad...
Just to mess with Conrad.
Let's talk about the McGee and Brett thing, because that's been wrestling legend.
Yeah. So, number one, it's I'm interested if they're doing this documentary, how fast they got this together, and who they're going to talk to for it.
Well, obviously, Brett. Probably McGee. And Meltzer has called it Bret Hart's crowning achieving moment, because it took a guy that was all right and made him look like the future of your company. And that was Bret's doing in ring. And it again speaks to, there's some calorie bias, but just speaks to Bret being one of the greatest of all time in ring. Just no one. I constantly read comments about people growing up with Bret and talking, I loved watching Bret work because it felt like it was real. And that's the one thing that WWE hasn't been able to find anyone else to do, is make it feel like it's real. Bret was a one-of-a-kind talent. And this would be one of the few times that I do turn into the network that's not NXT.
Yeah, they're airing the match, and then they're going to air the documentary. So, again, this is super petty what they're doing to StarCast.
They own the footage.
If they have it, they have the footage. It's their footage. So, whatever, man. I will be checking it out.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see what's said, and I'm interested to see what Brett has to say. If they got Brett, they should have got Brett.
Yeah, it's interesting too. Like, I've always kind of been on record with Deshaun and Brett saying that I thought Sean was just slightly better. So maybe if I see this, it will make me jump and pick Brett over him.
Oh, it constantly shifts. I think Sean has him a little bit via promo, but I think Brett, and there's no one as good as Brett Hart in ring. I think Brett just pound for pound in ring is the greatest of all time.
Do we have commentary in this match?
I don't know.
Interesting. So I guess too, now people are asking, well, if you have this, the next match that's been hidden is, there's a Kurt and Owen match, apparently, that was on a dark show. Yeah. And I was like, yes. If we could see this Kurt and Owen match, please.
We'll never, ever see it.
Well, until Kurt goes to a show, I'm like, hey, I'm going to talk about my match with Owen Hart.
That's all they got to do with StarCast.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I almost want to name this episode petty. Just because what they've done to Jericho, it's nothing's going to stop this train that they can do of stopping AEW. And again, StarCast is not associated with AEW. It's a separate product.
The last thing I'll say is AEW is generating all this good positive will, and WWE continues to come across as petty.
Yep.
More people are going to side with the company that's not coming across as petty.
I agree. It's really unfortunate, because it's a company that, you know, that means a lot to us when we were younger and over the last few years. And I'm just getting up, you know, normally when we watch, when I watch NCAA tournament, you see Seth Davis. When a team wins, he goes Sharpie. For the year-end awards, it's only May. It's May 10th. Joel, I think we can put WWE as the worst company in Sharpie.
A few companies would have to do some really stupid things, but I think they're safely locked into that spot.
It's just been completely ignorant, completely petty. And the Saudi Arabia show hasn't even happened. There's still two. The first one hasn't even happened yet.
I don't even know what to say.
But you get Goldberg.
I think it's time to end the show. I'm out.
Goldberg, who was going to go to AEW, and they brought him to Saudi Arabia, saying, want to go to AEW. But hey, pissant company, right, Joel? A t-shirt company, right, Joel?
Don't fear the pissant company.
Right. All right. Well, we'll be here next week to preview Money in the Bank and all its glory. And, really quickly, just on a kind of funny, did you see the picture of the guy that Jack Hager, a.k.a. Jack Swagger's face in a Bellator?
Yeah.
He looks like Jack Black. He wouldn't comment on him going to AEW, but I was like, Jesus, Hager. He's going to kill this guy.
Or it's going to be a ninja. And it is.
Also, I just want to say, like, I watched Impact this week. Impact's gotten pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, it's Lance Storm.
Yeah, has Lance. RVD's back now. Not that I've been a huge RVD fan, but Lance is back, and they did this whole thing with Tyra Valkyrie and Johnny Mundo, I guess Johnny Impact, thinking that he was gonna help him in that match against Brian Cage, because Storm trained Johnny in OVW, and he trained Tara in the Storm Academy. So anytime I get anything with Lance Storm, I'm always into it, but Impact is never going to get back to any other level than probably being the third or fourth company, probably fourth. But I think they've done a very good job of finding their niche and making it work.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, shouts to them. Good, very good job by them. And how many times – I just wanted to mention, because how many times did you and I come on here and TNA's for sale, Impact's for sale, and we're like, okay, let's do this again. Just shut it down. And now I'm really happy that it stayed open, because there's a lot of talent that is flourishing there, and while Impact won't be the end goal for them, they're going to move on to Arena of Honor, Japan. Michael Elgin also Impact, by the way. So building up a nice roster. It's going to be a very nice year for Impact Wrestling.
There's going to be a lot of competitiveness, and I think wrestling as a whole will benefit. But gotta see what we gotta see things on the upswing, because things the ratings numbers have to go up, interest has to go up, and but right now we're in that spot where things are kind of building up. I'm interested to see if they how they fire off.
I agree. So. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with a Money in the Bank preview. And until next time, cheers.
Man, a t-shirt company, you don't have to worry about them. They won't be able to do anything.
Piss ants. Enjoy the day, people.